Hello, lacrosse friends. I am Steven Stamp. I am the host of Box the Beat and an editor at ilindoor.com. And Box the Beat generally runs through the NLL season, but this year we are going through the summer. We're going to keep things rolling. There's a lot going on. It's not going to be just NLL news. There's going to be all kinds of stuff talking about the summer, but of course, sticking with NLL things as they happen. And there is a lot of it going on. The expansion draft is coming up. There will be plenty to share this week on the first episode of the summer edition of Box the Beat, available through iTunes via Inside Lacrosse Podcasts. I will speak with a couple of players who are part of my mock draft first round that I did on IL Indoor. You can go check it out, ilindoor.com. And I did actually two versions, one with Austin Stotson and one without him. And who knows, maybe I'll get Austin on the show at some point to talk about it. So far, there's a lot of disagreement or unclarity about whether Austin Stotts is coming into the draft this year. There's been rumblings for a couple of years now he'd come in this year. The sentiment seems to be he's probably coming in, but I'd heard that from people in the past. So we'll wait and see when we see the paperwork from Austin Stotts before we consider him officially in this draft, since he does still have some eligibility in college and in junior lacrosse that he would have to rescind. Well, he'd still be able to play junior. But anyway, take a look at those drafts, and a couple of the key players in them are a pair of lefties, one transition player, Ian McKay, and one, a forward, Connor Fields. I speak with both of them this week. Connor Fields, I talked to about his knee. What's the status? What is the situation? It's been a big mystery. As he got through the Albany season, then there was talk that he'd had the surgery on it, then he needed to repair his ACL, and then he's activated by the Charlotte Hounds. What's going on? Get all the details from Connor Fields himself. Talk about his passion for the box lacrosse game, which he started playing before he played field lacrosse, which I didn't even realize. But he is an upstate New York guy, so there's some sense to that. We talk about him not being able to be on Team Canada for the World Championships. Again, because of the knee, you just can't go over when you're awaiting August knee surgery and be playing seven games or so in a week and a bit period as you try to chase a world championship. Disappointing, but he understands. We'll talk some more about that. My other guest, Ian McKay, is on that Canadian team that is heading to Netanya, Israel, to try to defend Canada's gold medal from the last world championships. He has his own injury issues, lower body issues to deal with, as he has missed two seasons of summer lacrosse with leg injuries. And he has been rehabbing those down at Vermont, where he was a superstar. He is now on the Canadian team and will try to go and win another gold medal with them. So lots of interesting stuff to speak about with Connor Fields and Ian McKay on the summer edition, the first episode of Box the Beat on Inside Lacrosse via iTunes. I'm Steven Stamp, your host. Thanks so much, lacrosse friends, for being with me. Enjoy. Joining me on Box the Beat, the summer edition, is Connor Fields. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So the situation that we stand in right now, I just recently published a mock draft for this fall's NLL entry draft, and just before I did, I saw that you'd been activated with Charlotte, which surprised me and I think a lot of people, because we'd all heard that you'd had knee surgery for the knee issue, the ACL issue that had been kind of dogging you through the NCAA season, but you fought through pretty well. But do you want to just update us on the exact status of your knee and when things are happening and where you're going?
I'm going to play the season in Charlotte this summer, and right now I have surgery scheduled for August, so I was going to get it right after the season, and I went to see a doctor back home, and due to me getting a cortisone shot in the beginning of May, I couldn't get surgery on for 3 months after that, or else I'd risk infection. So I'm going to play out this season. The doctor says he has a good feeling I'll be back within 4 to 6 months after surgery. He said probably closer to 4 because how long I've been playing on it and the strengthening of my knee already. So he was really confident in that.
So that puts you on track, basically, to be, if not at NLL training camps, at least ready close to the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what definitely going to be pushing for, and hoping to be back as soon as I can.
And you are playing with the Charlotte Hounds. Unfortunately, we've learned you're not going to be able to be with Team Canada at the World Championships. And that's, I think, largely a question, because I know how much they like you and like your game. It's a question of when your knee's in the situation it's in right now, you don't want to be going through 7 games in 8 days or 9 days necessarily.
Yeah, but it's definitely a decision that the coaches had to make, and I think they made the right one. Obviously, there's a lot of great players there that they could take, and it would probably be really tough for me to play that many games in that many days. Sometimes my knee will swell up a little bit after games, so that there's always running that risk too. Mm-hmm. So, I was honored to be able to try out for Team Canada and for just the opportunity itself, and I'm wishing them the best throughout the World Game.
So we are focusing in this talk on the NLL draft and the box side of your game. I think everyone's quite familiar with what you do on the field. You've got lots of attention justifiably for the terrific work you've done. Indoors, I'm not sure how much people know about it. You are from East Amherst, New York, and you played with the Seneca War Chiefs in the 2016 Founders Cup, led the tournament in scoring, and, you know, so you've got some box background. And of course, last summer, playing with the Oakville Rock, I thought you had a really good season. The points started coming right away, but as I've mentioned here and there, I thought your comfort level and your sort of lacrosse IQ indoors really grew through the course of last summer. How do you feel about where your box game stands?
I feel really confident in the type of box player I am. I think it helped a lot, like you said, playing for the Seneca War Chiefs, playing for Darius Kilgore. I definitely learned a lot from him. And then playing in Oakville under that coaching staff and with those players, playing with the best, some of the best in the world. So just learning from them, learning just playing next to them. And yeah, like I said, under that coaching staff, that management system, it was awesome. And I definitely grew as a player throughout the year last year, definitely getting used to the pace of Senior A and stuff like that. And towards the end of the season, I was feeling really confident. I was really excited to actually play this summer, playing for Oakville, and then obviously the knee injury happened and it kind of set that back. But, I feel confident as a box player and hoping to get an opportunity to play in the NFL.
And just to be 100% clear for everyone, you're not going to be playing with Oakville this year at all because you can't go and play box right now with the surgery in August. And obviously after the surgery, it's going to be a while before you're ready to go.
Right now I wasn't going to play this summer just because of the amount of cutting and stuff like that. I'll be putting a lot of stress on my knee. So I decided that it was best just to sit this summer out and just try to just recover my knee as best as possible. And obviously, they pushed back the surgery because of cortisone shots. So I'm just trying to strengthen my knee that way, because they just say the stronger your knee is going into the surgery, the better outcome you're going to have on it. So I'm just really working hard on that and pushing that.
And I see you, I mean, in my mock draft, I've got you as a first rounder. I see you as certainly a potential first round pick. At worst, I would say an early to mid second round pick, depending. The one thing, there are a lot of lefty forwards in this draft, some really high caliber ones, obviously with Chris Kluches and Connor Robinsons and possibly Austin Stotts and all these guys. But have you had any sense from talking to coaches or teams or GMs where people see you fitting in?
I talked to a couple teams so far. Just kind of they're just checking up on how my knee is and stuff like that. And I feel really I'm just excited just to see what happens on draft day. I'm hoping I get the opportunity to play and get picked up. And there's a lot of great players out there, like you said, a lot of great lefties. So I got a it's gonna be really interesting to see where I end up if I do end up somewhere.
Yeah, I'm quite confident that you're going to get picked somewhere. It'll be, I think, really interesting to see where that is. And then when you, assuming that you are drafted and you head to a camp, what's your mindset going in? Because like you said, you're very confident in your box game. I've seen you play enough that I think there's no question you can become a National Lacrosse League player and a solid forward at that level. You're going to be coming off the surgery, and like anyone coming off a knee surgery, there's going to be a little adjustment time getting back to, especially with the cutting and things. How do you approach that when you're going into a training camp trying to make a team, but at the same time having to be aware of, you know, not overdoing it, you know, getting your way back in to be ready to play on the knee?
Yeah, I think a big thing is just the work I put in before the training camp, just trying to strengthen my knee as much as possible and stuff like that. So I'm going to a doctor up in Buffalo who's really good, and just going to go to a PT who's very good too, and just try to strengthen that knee as much as possible, and just try to get it back to feeling normal again. I think I'll recover very, very well after that. So I'm really going to work hard, and when I go into training camp, I'm just going to do the best I can and try to show the coaches that I belong at that level.
Obviously, a pretty great season with Albany. Not quite the finish you guys were hoping for, but you've had some great success at a number of levels. And now you look at the NLL, and it is the highest level of box lacrosse in the professional level. Is it something? I mean, growing up in the States, obviously, guys tend to think more along, a lot of them think more along the field lines, but I feel like this is something you've been looking at for a while, is that dream of the NLL.
Yeah, having a team in Buffalo, I always grew up watching them, and I probably was John Tavares, so always analyzed his game, just how hard he worked, skill and stuff like that, so I feel really comfortable with the box game, and I mean, I grew up playing box. That's when I started playing. I played in Fort Erie, Ontario, when I was six. So I didn't start playing field lacrosse until I was really 10 or 11. So I grew up playing the box game, and I'm kind of really comfortable with it.
I actually didn't realize you're a box guy before a field guy, which is really interesting. That's kind of the normal way up north of the border, and that's one of the benefits, I guess, of being so close to the border, is it's not unusual for guys to get into the box game early.
Yeah, I was lucky enough for parents were willing to go times a week, and 40 years right across the border, right across Lake Peach. So got across there and got to play up there for years maybe, and I came started playing field, and it started to become difficult to travel before, so fast, and then now I'm obviously our last summer I went back to playing Oakville.
Yeah, I think John Tavares was an idol, a role model for a lot of lacrosse players, not just lefty forwards, but, I mean, players all over the place. And what a great chance getting to watch him, like you said, being near Buffalo, and you see him as you're growing up. And then, of course, a couple weeks ago, I was down at the Memorial Center in Peterborough. I'm talking to Rich Kilgore in warm-up, and he's like, JT might be suiting up tonight. I was like, what? What are you talking about? They were a little short on runners. JT dresses, and he was pretty excited. He got out there and played, got three assists. And I know the guys on the team, some of the guys, like Brendan Bomber, tweeted, I can't believe I got to play with John Tavares, because, you know, JT had retired before he was close to the senior level. So pretty cool to see the old guy get back out there.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very hard worker, and, I mean, it was so cool to watch him play, to see that vision he has, and then the different moves he used and stuff like that. I remember I'd always go in my backyard. I had a backyard, and I'd always try to go home and replicate his moves the next day and stuff like that, just pretending I was in the situation he was in or stuff like that. But he was an idol for a lot of kids, and especially in the Buffalo at least. And we all looked up to him, and we were lucky enough to get to see him play almost every week.
Really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show, and certainly wish you all the best as you you know go through your summer season in Charlotte, and then the surgery and the rehab, and I am dying of curiosity to see how this draft plays out and where you wind up going. I'm sure you're just as excited to see it all. So good luck with all of it, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Joining me on Box the Beat, the summer edition, is Ian McKay. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Pretty big week for you. It starts out with you being one of the key factors in my mock draft for the NLL, and then some actual seriously big news, which is you've made the Canadian team for the World Field Lacrosse Championships. First of all, let's talk about the Field Worlds, because I think that's a big deal. Pretty big honor, obviously, to be named to that team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you have the ability to or opportunity to represent your country, it's a great honor. And luckily, I was able to do that in 2012 with the U19 team, and it's been a bit of a process the last year and a half, especially the last 6 months with everything that's gone on between the CLA and the NLTPA, but. Luckily, we were able to get everything sorted out and send a team over there, and it's just an honor to be able to be one of the 23 guys that's headed over there to defend the gold medal.
Very limited time with everything getting sorted out. Just recently, you've got 3 weeks. By the time this airs on Friday, about 2.5 weeks until the tournament actually opens up, less than 2 weeks until your opening game with Team Canada. How do you guys prepare now after having to deal with all, like you said, all the stuff going on between the CLA and NLTPA, getting it all sorted out just so you could go? How do you guys prepare with being ready to go and try and defend a world championship?
Yeah, I mean, obviously pretty quick turnaround. With the team being named, and like you mentioned, I think we're flying out the 8th or the 9th to go to Israel. So as far as getting ready, I know there's a bunch of paperwork stuff that has to be done, and just communicating between the coaches and the players, and just trying to understand everything that needs to be done, and still kind of unsure of everything that really has to be done to get ready to go. So just kind of sitting close to the computer and checking my emails as often as I can to figure out what's going on and how we can prepare to go.
So there is always that, I guess, administrative side to this kind of thing where, you know, like you said, you got to get the paperwork in place, make sure everything's all set for flights and travel to the airport and getting like the logistics and that. But one thing this is all taken away from is team preparation. I know talking to Randy Mearns, the head coach for Canada, he was quite adamant that they were picking a team. They were picking guys who could play different roles, have some versatility, a team that would work together. They were not even remotely looking at an all-star team. They're looking at a bunch of guys to fill roles that are needed. So I would think that would help. Since you're not going to have a ton of time, you won't have a bunch of practice time, you won't have a lot of time to gel as a team, so having roles defined like that has got to be useful.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you look at the roster, I think there's a lot of guys that are really versatile and can do a lot of things. So you have a guy like Jeremy Noble who can, and Zach Currier who can kind of do it all, do the two-way, the D-middy, the O-middy, that kind of thing. And you look at the guys on defense, you can have guys that can play close D, you can have guys that can play LSM. So just having a roster full of guys that kind of have a lot of different things in their back pocket will be very useful for us.
What is expected of you? Has it been communicated to you what kind of role you're expected to play?
Not exactly. I know I'll be playing midfield, but I mean, whatever is asked of me, I'll be willing to do, whether it's an offensive role, kind of like what I did at school, or if it's more of a defensive role, which I've done in the past too, and I played transition and box, obviously. So, I mean, whatever is asked of me, I'll be ready to do what I can.
I think there's a good example of that in your past or a precedent when you were on a bunch of very good Orangeville Northman teams playing a transition role, and then your, I guess it was your final year of junior, you had, or your second last year, you had a very young team. A lot of guys had graduated, and you played up front, you played in the back, you just kind of played all over the floor at different times in the year, depending on what was needed.
Yeah, it's something that I've tried to pride myself on. Growing up, I played mainly offense. I mean, you have to kind of play both ways, but I think every kid always wants to have that offensive role. And then when I got to Orangeville, it was either I could, as a rookie, I could stay and embrace a defensive role and grow that part of my game, or go back to junior B and kind of try and grow my offensive game. And I took the option of staying in Orangeville and doing all 5 years there. And I mean, just trying to do whatever I can to not only be on the floor, but help my team has been something I've always prided myself on. So kind of take that into the field game as well, and especially going into a tournament like this where there's a lot of games in short time, and everyone's kind of got to get out of their comfort zone and do whatever's asked of them. So something I've always prided myself on.
In terms of the mock draft that I did, where I have you going variously to a Buffalo in a trade scenario, or I mean, Buffalo I know is pretty keen on you. I think there are other teams that are obviously aware of what you can do, but I don't know that anyone could have been 100% sure on how prepared you would be, given that you've had a couple of summers not playing as you rehab some injuries. I know you spent some time in Vermont in the summers to try and get through and get healthy. And now, you know, after not having really played since 2015, you're out there playing with the Six Nations Chiefs, and so far everything seems to be going pretty well. How are you feeling on the floor, and do you feel like you're back to being the player you were a couple of years ago before those injuries, or do you think there's still some things to work through to get back to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it's been pretty easy transition. I was lucky enough right out of junior to play a few senior games with Oakville, who protected me right out of junior. And so I was able to get a little bit of experience with the game and the speed of it, and just playing with the pro caliber players and the players that are in the league. I mean, it's some of the best players in the world playing in this league. So, but it's honestly kind of like riding a bike. Like, it's, you know, the only thing that's really been the biggest transition is just kind of the speed and just making sure I'm in the right spots at the right time. But health-wise, I feel better than I have in a long time. And it's good to be on a team like Six Nations, who we kind of went with a bit of a youth movement and younger guys, but you have some guys who have been around the league and know what it takes to win. And it's been good getting to meet these guys and know these guys and kind of grow with them through this little rough patch that we've been in.
There is a lot of change on that roster, obviously, guys coming and going. Like you said, a youth movement and a pretty struggling start to the season, a win in the opener and then four straight losses. And then with Coburg in town on Tuesday night in Six Nations, looking like they might just take it. They go up 11-8 in the third period. And that felt to me like a pretty critical point in the season. I know it's fairly early, but boy, the summer season goes by quickly. And if Coburg holds on to that and wins that game, and you guys are sitting at 1-5, all of a sudden you're in a battle just to make the playoffs. But that five goals at the end of that game, including the empty netter by Dane Smith, seemed to really turn things around. And then you follow that up the night later, going to Brooklyn and having a solid outing for the most part. Then after having an 8-4 lead in the third period, it almost goes the other way, where Brooklyn comes back and they come all the way back to tie it up on a penalty shot with 1:21 to go. But then Cody Jamison takes a pass from Dane Smith, 5 seconds left. They got you get the ball with 9.5 seconds to go. Run a play quickly. Cody Jamison rips it and scores in very Cody Jamison fashion. To me, those two games could be turning points in this season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you said, if we kind of pulled over against Coburg there in the third and lose that one, we're battling big time for a playoff spot. So that was a critical game for us. And then to have back-to-back games and important back-to-back games is pretty tough to do. And to be able to pull out two wins is huge for us and kind of puts us in a better spot standing-wise. And I think it helps us too, kind of with being a younger team and facing the adversity we have, and then not only in the season but just in these few games, with going down and having Brooklyn come back on us and tie it up, and to be able to pull that out is huge for us, growth wise, especially like I said, having the younger team and facing that adversity. It's good for us to kind of face it now earlier in the season and learn from it, and hopefully we can take away and continue to grow each game going into the rest of the season.
Speaking a little bit about the draft, and I mean, I did do a mock on Monday with an update on Tuesday that everyone can go to IL Indoor and check out. And for you, do you have any particular thoughts about it or any feelings? Like, obviously, it's something that you've been building towards while you're in school, knowing this day was coming, but not really being able to prepare because you didn't get the chance since the 9 games that you mentioned that you played with Oakville, 4 in the regular season, 5 in the playoffs in 2015, not being able to really prepare for it in a direct way. Have you got any sense of where people see you or how teams are looking at you or if anybody, I mean, are people talking to you? What's your status right now with the draft?
Pretty uncertain, to be honest. Just kind of try not to think about it too much, but it's obviously kind of in the back of my mind each game, and especially this summer, not having played the last 2 summers, knowing how important this one is. Not only just to kind of get back into the swing of things for me, but to prove to people that I really didn't lose a step and that I still can play and can play at a high level. And but that being said, you know, other than it being in the back of my mind a little bit, I try not to think about it too much and just kind of focus on each game and each day that we play with Six Nations, and especially kind of the little rough patch we've been in, just trying to do what I can to help the team and try and pull out a couple wins and get this thing moving in the right direction. But as far as a draft, I mean, obviously it's something to look ahead to, and it's something that I've wanted to be a part of my whole life. And but if you hype it up too much or you think about it too much, then it's going to consume you a bit. Don't really want that to happen, obviously. So just trying to focus on each day and each game with Six Nations and trying to get better with this team.
Yeah, and last night it looked like things went fairly well for you in terms of focusing. I mean, you come out and I mean, you're on the ball team a lot of the time, so you're out there right off the opening faceoffs, and you score the opening goal of the game, 2:39 in, which I thought was a lovely goal. And it looks to me like you're doing a pretty nice job of just focusing on just playing, not letting anything be a distraction.
Yeah, I mean, if you can kind of block out the outside distractions and all the hype going into the draft and everything, and just kind of worry about yourself and how you can help the team, I think it just kind of comes pretty natural and easy to you. And that transition role and kind of pushing the ball and trying to get the breakaway goals and push the transition is a big part of my game and something that I think kind of defines my game. So just trying to work on that as much as I can. And so far it's been working out. I've been able to get a couple good chances so far this summer, so hopefully they keep coming and hopefully they keep dropping for me.
And apologies in advance, but I will continue to hype the draft and make sure people are aware of what's going on with it and who's involved and that you're one of the key players in it.
Not a problem.
All right, appreciate you taking the time, and certainly wish you all the best in the summer season, both here and in Israel, and it's going to be a busy time for you leading up to this draft.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Okay, lacrosse friends, that'll wrap it up for the first summer episode of Box the Beat here on iTunes, my Inside Lacrosse podcasts. My guests, Connor Fields and Ian McKay, both tremendous young men, both figuring to be very high picks in this fall's NLL draft. I'm Stephen Stamp, your host and an editor at ilindoor.com. Go to ilindoor.com for all the best of lacrosse coverage, and we'll see you next time with plenty more through the summer season of Box the Beat.